How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. Well, this goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. It is a huge weekend. Last night, UFC. Tonight, UFC. Tomorrow, UFC McGregor versus Aldo. Sunday, WWE TLC. Monday, Raw. Wednesday, NXT TakeOver. There is so much stuff going on, and we're going to try and talk about as much as we can here in the next hour. Later on in this program, we are going to be joined by the Doctor of Lucha, Steve Sims. We've got a lot of Lucha news to talk about today, including Del Rio's claim, this being Alberto Del Rio, that the reason that he could not go back to AAA to drop that mega title was all WWE's fault. We're going to talk about that, plus preview the big UFC shows this weekend. We'll talk about last night's show with Paige VanZant getting beaten in the first ever non-title women's main event in UFC history. Lost to Rose Namajunas via submission in the fifth round. Sage Northcutt, however, did in fact get his big win over Cody Pfister. We could talk about that. And unfortunately, we have some bad news to talk about here today on the show. A fighter in, I guess it was the Philippines, the one fighting championship show, 1FC, which took place yesterday. Yang Zhangbing, a flyweight who was scheduled to compete for yesterday's show, passed away 12.06 p.m. Friday, just before the show, collapsed while cutting weight on Thursday morning, rushed to the hospital, never recovered, passed away due to cardiopulmonary failure. We'll talk about that, plus all of the other news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. And we shall kick it off after the break. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Crazy weekend, and unfortunately, as I noted before the break, opened up with bad news as 21-year-old Chinese fighter Yang Zhangbing, scheduled to fight for 1FC, was announced by the promotion as having passed away 12.06 p.m. Friday, just hours before a scheduled show at the Mall of Asia Arena in the Philippines. Bing was scheduled to fight. He had collapsed while weight-cutting on Thursday morning, rushed to San Juan de Dios Hospital, never recovered, passed away due to cardiopulmonary failure. There is nothing more profoundly tragic and sad than when a member of the ONE Championship family, current or past, passed away, said a statement. Our thoughts and prayers are with the family and loved ones of Yang Zhangbing. Inevitable that at some point this would happen. Still a very, very sad story. Don't really know a lot about it. We're still waiting for more details, but it does appear to be directly related to a weight cut. 21 years old.
It's just pathetic. It really, really is. And you would figure it was bound to happen. It's bound to happen under the best of circumstances. I mean, you just never know when you're cutting weight. I mean, we talk about it sometimes like it's a normal thing. And amongst fighters, it is. But when you hear about somebody in the last week, I got to lose 10 pounds and it's an easy cut and things like that. It, you know, for the average person, it's not that easy, you know, to suck all of the water out of your body and to do all that sort of stuff. And, you know, again, even just cutting a normal amount of weight within reason is scary enough, let alone when it's unchecked. And right now it's unchecked. And with it's just time we go to more of a system like Filthy Tom Lawler has talked about, and I think may have done it on this program, too. The amateur wrestling system, where there's only so much weight you can cut. It's a percentage that you're able to cut down, and that needs to be universally looked at. And these guys need to be really looked at by a doctor, you know, I think in advance. I don't know how you do it, but you need to keep better checks on these guys as they're going through the weight-cutting process as well, too, and to try to keep up with it, because this is going to happen again, and it may happen in the UFC, and it will happen in the UFC sooner or later if this continues to go on. You know, freak things happen, accidents happen, and this is probably going to happen because it's happened in every other organization and almost every other fight sport, whether it be boxing or wrestling or fighting. It's happened everywhere else as well, too. So sooner or later, it's going to happen in the UFC, and it's one of those things that's completely preventable.
The weigh-ins for the UFC show are coming up here in a few hours. There are links all over the internet, including at WrestlingObserver.com. And one of the big stories that will be coming out of the weigh-ins is how Jose Aldo Jr. and Conor McGregor look when they weigh in. Because both men are heavy for the 145-pound division. They cut a lot of weight. And this will be the first fight where IVs are not allowed. Now, when UFC announced that IVs were banned through USADA, there were fighters who thought, this is going to be bad news. This is going to lead to even more problems because guys are going to cut a lot of weight and they're not going to be able to rehydrate using these IVs. Now, we don't know. This just started a couple of months ago. This is the first fight for Aldo and McGregor without the IVs. All I know right now is that I have seen photos of Conor McGregor from a few days ago, and the guy was shredded. Chris Weidman is walking around at just over 190 pounds. This was a couple of days ago as well. So, obviously, these are just two individuals. Who knows what Jose Aldo Jr. is doing? I mean, when they first announced no more IVs, the guy flat out said, I'm using them anyway. I don't care. And then a little while later, he obviously realized this would be a bad idea. And he said he was only kidding. He would not be using IVs. But the point of this is there are some guys who have taken this IV deal, and what they've done is they've just started cutting weight earlier. They've started walking around at a lighter weight. And honest to God, that's going to be better for their health. I don't know how it's going to be for their fighting. Weidman is used to being much heavier, cutting a lot of weight, rehydrating back up, and being strong and heavy going in. Maybe he won't be that strong going in, but it'll probably be more healthy for him. It seems that McGregor is going to be okay. The big question is, will Aldo be okay? After all he said, I have not seen any pictures of Aldo. I don't know what he's walking around at. I don't know what he's going to look like at the weigh-in, but we're going to know a lot in a few hours.
Yes, we will. And we know Conor's, all of it's out of his body right now. I mean, he looks pretty much as ripped as he could possibly be. And Pappy, it's actually just here. It's been a big couple of days. It's going to be a big night tonight. It was a very notable night last night as well, too. So it's been a very exciting weekend, or it looks like it's going to be a very exciting weekend. So finally we get this fight, and we'll probably have an opponent very likely as well, too, a next opponent for possibly either man, most certainly Conor McGregor if he ends up getting the win.
Another thing I wanted to mention, I thought this was interesting. If you remember back to the first Chris Weidman versus Anderson Silva fight, and Weidman was going into that fight, and he was the underdog, and all of these fans, all of these casual MMA fans and hardcore MMA fans, Anderson Silva was unstoppable, it was thought at this point. And I don't want to say everybody because that's not true, but the vast majority of people were picking Anderson Silva over Chris Weidman. And a few days before that fight took place, UFC sent out an email and they said, fighters pick Silva versus Weidman. And I thought, well, this should be interesting. So I clicked on it, and one fighter after another virtually unanimously picked Chris Weidman. And I thought, how about that? And my first thought was, well, if you've ever seen a countdown special, what they do is they take the underdog and they build that guy up to where anybody watching, any casual fan watching, is going to think there's going to be an upset. This man is dangerous. This underdog is going to win. And then you watch UFC and they do the poll, who do you think is going to win? And it's like 50-50, even though if you really follow the sport, you're thinking, this dude here does not have a 50% chance. This is not an even fight going in. But they did a great job of promotion. So I thought, that must be what they're doing here with this email. They must have talked to these fighters and said, listen, can you throw in a few good words for Weidman? Because nobody believes Weidman is going to win. We got to sell pay-per-views. So go in there and say that you think. That didn't happen. These fighters all thought that Weidman was going to win. And do you remember what happened in that fight, Mike?
I do indeed.
Weidman won.
Yes, he did.
So today, yes, there was an article.
Well, according to Anderson Silva fans, he got lucky again or whatever it was.
Oh, he won twice in a row. But the point is, the fighters were right. So today at MMAfighting.com, they did a similar deal. They polled a bunch of fighters. Who do you think is going to win, Conor McGregor versus Jose Aldo Jr.? And, of course, I think I heard of one sports book where Aldo was the favorite. This was as of last night. But everywhere else, Conor McGregor was the favorite going into this fight. I can't bet against Aldo. I believe you've said the same thing. Others have as well. But, like, there are a lot of people that think Conor McGregor is going to win this fight. Well, interestingly enough, they polled all of the fighters, one fighter after another, picking Jose Aldo Jr. I believe on the list there may have been one person who picked Conor McGregor, but all of the fighters are picking Aldo. Aldo, right now, on most sportsbooks, is the underdog. I don't know if that means that Aldo is going to win. There's no way of knowing, obviously, because it's a fight. But I hearkened back to that Weidman-Anderson Silva fight, where the guy who was the favorite ended up losing, and all of the fighters picked the underdog. And the same thing is happening here in this fight. Except,
yeah, especially with a lot of guys who actually declared, you know, a couple months ago that they thought Aldo was going to win, and they're saying now, no, I think it's Conor.
We'll see what happens. I do know one fighter who's picking Conor. That's Filthy Tom Lawler. He's on record with that from Monday. Back in a moment with more Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We're back here on Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. No phone calls today, probably no text messages either. Just too much stuff to talk about. We've been inundated with guests over the last couple of days, and it's a big weekend, and we've got another guest coming up in about 12 minutes here. Dr. Volucha, Steve Sims, talking all sorts of stuff, including whatever the hell they are doing with Del Rio and Zeb on Raw. I don't even know. I was so amazed when I watched Raw on Monday and Zeb got fired. And then on Tuesday, I watched our retro Raw from 19 years ago this week. And on that show, Zeb got fired.
Wait, who was he managing then? Was it still the Blues? Who was it?
It was Bradshaw.
Ah, Justin Hawk Bradshaw. That's right.
They did a handicap match with the real Double J, Road Dogg. And Road Dogg beat them, and JBL was so mad he fired Zeb. It's like, man, this guy got fired twice, 19 years apart on the same day. It's crazy.
See, if they would have did some better planning, they could have tied that into something on the show or something like that. Considering Bradshaw's still there. So, really, you get to look forward to the reformation of the NWA, correct? That was after that time.
Oh, God, who knows? All I know is if you watch that show and you look at Justin Hawk Bradshaw, JBL in 1996, spitting image for today's Chris Hero. It's uncanny.
Yeah, I guess that is kind of right.
No, it's not
there.
Even kinda. Go watch it. And I texted Hero. He's been on the show many times, and I said, I don't know if you're aware of this, but you look exactly like JBL in 1996, and he goes, people tweet me about that at least once a week. So this was not news to him.
You can add a lariat into his repertoire then, too. It's amazing, you know, the Attitude Era, when people will look back. I wonder who will be the first person to ask you about, why is Bradshaw driving around with Taka teaching him how to drive? Because I think that was that and the NWA before the Acolyte Protection Agency, or before becoming an Acolyte, and then the APA, and then getting to the heights that he has now. That's what Bradshaw and his WWE career was best known for.
Going back to the news, last night was the UFC Fight Night 80 show, and two big names they're trying to groom for stardom one of which was Sage Northcutt. He did, in fact, defeat Cody Pfister via guillotine. 41 seconds of the second round. Every single one of his fights he has finished so far. And Paige VanZant took a big step up in competition. Original opponent dropped out. Rose Namajunas replaced her and kind of sort of beat the hell out of her for five rounds. And then
kind of sort of. 10-7 first round, arguably.
10-7, wow. That's a very, that's a bold score you've given right there, Mike. Take us through this fight.
So basically, Rose started, I'm trying to think of the shot that busted her up, but it went to the ground. Rose landed an elbow, I believe it was, on Paige's cheek. And by the end of the fight, basically, Paige, I can't remember if it was Jonathan Snowden, who it was, but she looked exactly like Tommy Rich in like 1982 or 83, feuding with Buzz Sawyer. I mean, she had the Ric Flair crimson mask going. But it was a one-sided beating for Rose Namajunas. Now, I was going to take actually Joanne Calderwood in this fight. I really, really was, and this is not something in hindsight. I actually mentioned this. I may have mentioned this on the show too when they had made that fight originally. I definitely said something to Josh Nason about it, where it was such a big step up for Paige. You know, she could lose to Calderwood, and it you know, Calderwood hasn't looked the same. You know, she was in that fight of the night after she came out of the first round in her last fight, but that one big fight after the Ultimate Fighter series ended. I mean, she came up lame in it, and I'm not sure what was wrong, but she's a better fighter than what she showed in that fight, and Paige was going to take a big step up even facing her, let alone somebody with the talent level and the experience of Namajunas, who just, again, busted her up on the feet. Paige did, she was amazing. I think it was the third round where she never stops. I mean, she's got that, you know, a little bit of Misha Tate in her or whoever. I mean, just a relentless opponent where she was bleeding so much, it actually helped her get out of what looked to be a fight-ending rear naked choke attempt in the third round. I believe it was the fourth round where she had escaped an armbar by, you know, I hadn't seen anything like that since I went to the Dan Hardy GSP fight, where, you know, GSP actually let go of an armbar because he thought he was going to break Hardy's arm. You know, it was such, you know, it was so Gumby-like. And there's a situation like that last night as well, too.
You think Paige, a guy who wore a gi to the ring would remember No Mercy from the Karate Kid movies? Don't let go of that armbar.
That's, you know how championship GSP match. Is. You know how he is. You know, he's. But still, look, again, huge step up. Paige didn't lose anything in this. In fact, she did show, I mean, again, the fact she just kept going and she did keep getting out of things before finally she was, you know, choked out and submitted at the end. She did show that, and her, you know, it was her first big step up. Certainly at this point, her career is not over or anything like that. She's not a victim of overhype or anything like that. Yes, the UFC would have liked her to win, but it's not like Rose Namajunas is not, like, you know, incredibly, incredibly talented and incredibly marketable herself, you know, especially when you tie her up with her boyfriend, Pat Barry. You know, they are, I mean, he is couldn't be a bigger walking cartoon character. And she's established herself in the last couple of fights as a threat. She did lose that one in Invicta. You know, it was kind of, you know, a surprise after, you know, she didn't, coming out of the Ultimate Fighter, you know, expected a little bit more from her. It didn't happen, but she, for whatever happened, she certainly hit her groove now. And again, good times for the UFC and the fact that Sage Northcutt won. Not bad times because Paige lost, but good ones because Rose won. And we're going to be seeing, God knows who we'll be seeing her against. I don't know if we'll see her against, you know, neither one against Joanna yet, I wouldn't think. But I think, you know, Joanna and Paige or Rose down the road is not something that is going to be too far out of the picture. Probably, again, if they both win another fight, I could see that happening by the end of the year.
There was a press conference afterwards, obviously, and Paige talked about how I was just outclassed. Was outclassed in every way. Very humble. She was near. Actually, I think she did weep. Broke my heart. But the point of this is, here's the reality. This game is hard. She's very young, and she hasn't been training since she was five. And it's just tough. It's tough to go in there and learn all of these different things that are required to be a mixed martial artist. It's one thing to concentrate on one art. For example, in jiu-jitsu, I've concentrated on jiu-jitsu only for the last decade. So I don't have to split my time between wrestling and Muay Thai and all of the other things that go into being a fighter. I'm concentrating on one thing. Now, there are also so many different levels of training and fighting and dedication. It's just so hard when you're that young to come in and be complete. And the thing that is important about Paige VanZant, it sucks that she lost, but the reality is she's, number one, cute, and number two, and actually cute should be second, because number one, this is actually even more important. Actually, I'm not even sure nowadays. That's a very big thing. I mean, it's no mystery that if you go to our website, I mean, every time we talk about Paige VanZant, there's a picture of her plastered on the front page of the website to get people
to click
the link.
There's a reason she's one of the faces of the Reebok deal. Let's
exactly. But the thing that also benefits her greatly, even though she's not a great fighter yet, is, as you noted, she never quits. She's this little machine that goes in there and she fights till her dying breath, or till she's out of breath in the middle of a choke. Fight, 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 fight. And when you're a fighter who can go in there and perform and entertain the way that she did, and granted, you could say it's really not that entertaining to see her covered with blood as she's getting her ass handed to her, but still, she went in there and she never gave up. And people will want to see someone like that fight again. It's your classic old school pro wrestling babyface psychology. This is why you can take a guy who wins all of his fights, but it's always boring, John Fitch, and he loses one fight and they can't get rid of the guy fast enough. That's why this game is all about trying to be the best you can, trying to be as charismatic and cut the best promos that you can, and trying to put on great fights. That's still one of the keys to UFC, is try and put on great fights. If you're not the best fighter in the world, if you're young, if you're a Paige VanZant, and you go in there and you're good at a lot of things, but you're not really great at anything, just go in there and fight the best you can, and you're probably going to get another, you're going to get another gig out of it. People are going to want to see you fight. They're going to enjoy watching you fight. They're going to pay to see you fight, even if you don't win every single fight.
The Miller brothers. I mean, there's, you know, the
sure.
Joe Lozon. Who's another one? Clay Guida. They could lose a billion times. Well, not a billion times, but they could lose a lot of times. And it doesn't matter, because they put on these fun fights that people want to see. And as long as they are semi-competitive in them, there's always going to be a place for a person like that. And I think also, too, when it comes to that division, that's the one thing. I mean, the women did it themselves, too. But Invicta deserves a lot of credit, because they went into that house. And obviously, Paige didn't go in there because of her age at the time. She wasn't 21. But all of these women had a personality. They all had a lot of color. And Invicta did a very good job getting that across, to the point now where, you know, we look at the Ronda's division and Holly Holm's division, and there's not a whole lot there. You know, there's Juliana Pena, there's a couple of people there, but it's not that deep with people you want to see. And the strawweight class.
All right, actually, we got to head into a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. If you want to follow us on Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. Mike is at Sempervivi. Sports Byline, at Sports Byline USA. And our guest today, Dr. Lucha, at Dr. Lucha Jr. And if you want to send any questions to the Doctor of Lucha, I'm opening up the text line now. No phone calls, but you can text us, 425-780-7566 is the text message number, 425-780-7566. Also available on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. All of the numbers, text message, etc. And Dr. Lucha, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Brian. How are you guys doing?
Not too bad. Let's kick it off.
Are we back for our every week or every other week check of Rey Mysterio Jr.'s knee?
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. I got more important questions first. Aldo versus McGregor.
Uh-huh.
Who's winning?
Aldo's winning.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I agree as well, but Interesting.
That's my gut instinct. This is just a half a level too much. It might be a lot like Sonnen and Silva, in that with all the energy of youth and all the confidence of the champion mixed together, it might be a lot closer than one would reasonably think by just looking at the charts. But I would, were I in Vegas, I would be betting on Aldo.
One more question for you. Another matchup.
Especially is an underdog, but anyway.
Another matchup here. I don't normally acknowledge Ed's questions, but he did set up Blue Pants on the show yesterday. He wants to know, how bad are the Spurs going to kick the Lakers' ass tonight? 100 points or more?
It won't be 100 points, but this is the worst Lakers team in the history of Lakers teams, and it's going to be brutal. It will not be fun.
25
this is a year for,
at least.
Yeah, for Ed to gloat is and frankly the Spurs cheerleaders would have a good shot against the Lakers.
I don't even follow these sports, Ed, and even I know no one's winning by 100 points. Come on. All right, let's start with Alberto Del Rio.
I don't know. Golden State plays Philadelphia, but go ahead.
All right, Alberto Del Rio on Monday broke up with Zeb. It appears that Vince finally figured out this angle sucks. God only knows. When people talk about how Vince is out of touch, I usually defend Vince, but the fact that it took this long to figure out that this sucked is astonishing to me. So
my question is not so much did he figure out this sucked, but are we going to find out about a year from now that this was Vince's plan all along to remind Alberto who was the boss?
Why would, I mean, I guess, I mean, Del Rio should know that. He's getting paychecks. My question here, let's start with this. Del Rio announced that he did an interview, and he was basically talking about why he didn't drop the mega title. He placed all the blame on AAA. Now, I know that him and AAA had been on good terms ever since he left. Are they no longer on good terms after this interview?
The AAA org office is very disorganized now, and it's very hard to tell how the Roldans feel about anything. I would suspect that you're correct. They are very unhappy with Alberto at the present time. A number of people, in fact, most everyone I've seen comment about the interview that Del Rio gave to the Mexican Reforma newspaper website, just took him to task and really ripped apart his arguments on that. They didn't seem to hold much water, and I always was being given information that AAA really believed they could get dates on Del Rio to either drop the title or come in and hand the title back, even if he couldn't lose in a match. And I think AAA believed that. I think I was hearing the information that they believed correctly. It turns out it was never going to be the case, and I really think that Del Rio played them out such that he didn't want to drop the belt, and he managed to set up a path of stories so that it couldn't really be checked back by AAA office, which was too disorganized to check anything anyway.
So now that leads us to whatever's going on with Del Rio. I mean, do you have any... Here we are now, 2 months in or whatever. Do you have any thoughts on what kind of deal he actually got? There's so many conflicting stories, and what do you think? What do you think the truth is based on the stories Del Rio has told of late?
I am less inclined to believe him than I was at the start. The reason I was inclined to believe him at the start was because he gave out specifics that if they weren't the case, he was leaving himself open to a lot of criticism within the organization, punishment within the organization that A, you don't talk statistics, and B, or you don't talk salaries, that's private. The other people who work for us don't need to know what people are making, et cetera, et cetera. And B, whether it's true or false, we're a private company, and we don't share our information with the press like that. And see, if even if it's true, I don't want that. I don't want other employees coming back and saying, "Well, he's getting this much money, so I want that much money." So, for him to use specifics, I thought was a very strange choice of to say I'm getting paid this much money, but to do it is like. Well, if he was getting paid that much money, no one would believe him unless he actually used the specifics. So at first I started to believe him, and now I'm beginning to think he may be being very creative with his finances to come up with that figure.
Hmm. You mentioned...
I'm just not so sure he's going to work out in whatever role they have for him. I have watched each Monday night that he has been on, and I don't see him as the next Latino superstar babyface. I don't see him as the next Latino superstar heel in the sort of way that Eddie Guerrero was, where he was such a heel that he was a heel to everyone, but still retained his Latino-ness as part of his character. He doesn't strike me as having that much personality to be either way and to be a new fresh cup of water that Vince would like someone to be.
Yeah, but you've watched Lucha Underground and you've seen mm-hmm. him. You've seen him outside of WWE, and this guy does have charisma. He does have babyface fire, but he has to be in the proper. I still think that if they would have brought him back and they would have done a short storyline, I mean, they may still do this because he's broken up with Zeb, but you do a storyline based on what happened in real life where somebody makes some sort of comment about him, he flips his lid, and all of a sudden he's your fiery Latino babyface fighting for all of the Mexicans. I mean, if you could do a storyline version of real life.
That's what I thought AAA would bring him in with that angle.
Because that was a character he played after he left. And it was great.
Yeah, figuring out Vince's and Triple H's minds and how they get things done the way they do. I mean, clearly, things are not operating on all cylinders with that organization in the creative department. And it's quite possible that it's not Del Rio's fault, but it's somebody else's fault, that he's ready and able to do better things than he's doing. And it's just the organization is just in a real funk right now.
You mentioned Rey Mysterio's knee injury. What's going on?
We always talk about this. This is great because finally I can come back and say I told you so. Because as things have started to happen over the last 2 weeks since I was last on, he's had to miss a date, a TV taping for AAA, the final TV taping of the year that was going to set up and lead to the title match for the AAA mega title at the Garrity Titanus, which has now been rescheduled for January. He had to miss it because he's injured, because he's been working too much and his knee is shot, which is what the three of us all agreed was probably going to happen as we've discussed this over the course of the year. That he's just, you know, there is, as I said at one point, there is no shot you can take to make your knee 20 years old again. And he is at the edge by his own admission and by plenty of other people's admissions and by looking at his last few years, he is not able to work a full schedule. He's not able to work a full program, and he is able to take time off and come back and go short term for a while, but that's all he has and that's all he will have in the future. And that's not something I'm sure AAA was hoping for, but if they want to push him as their major star, they're going to have to realize they're going to have to use him very sparingly.
Man, I had so much hope that he was 100%.
We'll find out this weekend if he's on Lucha Underground or not. He may not literally be able to do more than promos because of the knee.
But do you think that he's going to be on Lucha Underground?
I think they would like him even if he couldn't work the knee. He is so well known within the Latino market that he would bring an audience to El Rey and just expose the network by having him on the show. I cannot imagine that just for no other reason than that, just by having him on for a season, just by being able to advertise him, is going to get enough people to say, oh, there's an El Rey network that they didn't know, that it would be worth the cost they're going to pay him.
So we do have the announcement of the next season of Lucha Underground. They just announced that it's going to be launching in January, late January, mm-hmm. season two. And we don't know a whole lot about it, except they're taping a lot of television. I believe they've got a day, maybe this weekend, I'm not sure when it is, but they're going to be taping three shows in one day.
That's right, this weekend, yep.
So what does that mean? They never did a three-day taping before, so does the fact that they're doing a three-day taping mean that they're actually going to try to get more episodes than they had originally planned?
Well, what I had heard and what has been seeped out through the grapevine, and I think was publicly information, is they were going more in a supernatural direction, and they were going more entertainment and just a slightly less wrestling. And they may be able to tape three episodes and not tape much more wrestling for those three episodes of season two than they tape for two episodes of season one, because they're going in a more storyline area and they're doing more things on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for vignettes and skits and stuff like that. That's my hunch. That's my we will find out more this weekend about Lucha Underground Season 2, probably enough to answer almost all of our questions based
all
on
but
who
one.
They have and what they do.
All but one, yes. Which is that I've got the press release here. This is the official press release on Season 2, and there is no mention whatsoever of Unimas. It's all El Rey.
Boo.
It may be because I have heard some rumors that they are still negotiating very heavily with Televisa to give it to Televisa, and Televisa would be a priority over Univision or Unimas for the long-term health of the program. And if Televisa has given them any interest, which I think they have, that let's continue these discussions, I'm interested, let's see a little bit of season two, et cetera, then it would be smart for the Lucha Underground people to say, okay, If you want us to do this, we're only taping it in English, but if you want us to do this and show it to you,
that's the key.
That's fine.
That's the key that I was going to ask you about. They haven't been doing the double taping of everything this time around, where they tape it once in English and then they do it again. I mean, maybe they are for the vignettes, but they're not doing it in front of the crowd. And so that would mean...
They are. And it can be, at the last minute, of course, they can always do voiceovers for matches. I mean, you can.
Sure.
There are technical ways around it if they absolutely had to, but it doesn't. Sure, you're right. It sure doesn't look like Unimas is in the schedule for this year.
That's not just Unimas, but if they got Televisa, you're still talking about a product that this year will not be available in Espanol.
Yeah, but if they got Televisa and they wanted to, here's my opinion on Televisa, and it's a very short one. If Televisa buys into this at any time, it's going to be it. Televisa is a gigantic network. It's bigger than it's as a company size. It's the size of like ABC, Disney, ESPN. It's a gigantic network. It's not El Rey. If they decide they want to get in and be part owners or part producers of it, they will throw far more assets in their own way of filming things in it. And they will, you know, if the same creative people are still kept in there, that's fine. But Televisa does not want to just... I think what they don't want is...
Well, stand by. Let's take this after the break. We'll be back in a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. We have a very limited amount of time, but I got to read this very quickly before we go back to Steve. From the Mirror in the UK, this just came over the wire here. The Wire, we call it. Conor McGregor UFC fight fans force plane to turn around after brawl breaks out in mid-air. JetBlue aircraft headed back to New York after a disturbance between customers occurred while the flight was in midair. Plane carrying fans heading to Vegas was forced to turn around. Fight broke out between passengers carrying a number of Irish UFC supporters, and I guess they got in a big argument over the fight. A fight broke out and the plane turned around. I've never heard of anything like this, but there you go. That just came through. Steve, let's do some plugs here real quick.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'm at Dr. Lucha Jr., and you can find more of this, the things we talked about, in this week's column at the Figure Four Weekly.
That's right. Which is available for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. How are you going to wrap that last segment up, by the way?
Oh, I just wanted to say, if Televisa does end up involved in any way with Lucha Underground, they will want to own the production and make it look Televisa style quality.
Well, there you go. At Dr. Lucha Jr., everybody. He'll be back next week. Hopefully, we'll have more time. There won't be so much insanity going on. And one other note here on that flight. Two, as it says here, Irish lads were the ones that got into the big fight. And it was turned around. This weekend is nuts, everybody. We'll be around to talk about it every single day. Check out at Brian Alvarez, WrestlingObserver.com, at Semper Vivi, at Dr. Lucha Jr., at Sports Byline USA. I'll give you all the details about what's coming up this weekend. Back next time. We'll talk to you again after a while.